Thank you, Sister Clark. I tell you what, that sets you in heavenly places, don't it? You wouldn't get any better than that until you get on up to heaven, I believe. What a truth to rescue a sinner like me, amen? I want you to go to the Old Testament. This morning we're going to pick up a story and make some applications from it. I want you to go all the way back to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. We'll help you a little bit. You can find it if you can find 1 Chronicles. All right, I'm being facetious. All right, go to your right, you'll pick up 2 Chronicles. Now, if you're still in trouble, you might find 1 and 2 Kings and keep going to your right, amen? pick it up in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. I want to reference at least the 12 verses, even though I realize it takes a little time to read a little bit longer text. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject trading gold for brass. Trading gold for brass. If I had a gold coin up here and a copper penny, wonder which one you'd prefer. Of course we know. But you find that in our story right here. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. All right, it tells why. Because they had transgressed against the Lord. Always a cause behind it, amen? Moving on down, verse 5. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me. You have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Now I want you to get a picture here. In the temple, on the big wall, in the riches of Solomon's kingdom that's been divided now into Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam here we're dealing with over the kingdom here of Israel here. And we find that Solomon and his riches, and by the way, probably one of the richest kingdoms earth has ever seen. You said not more than America. Well, if you translate it down, probably so, because they didn't have our national debt. Got to think things through, see. You know, all kind of volumes of gold was brought to Solomon. You can read it all in the story, in the context here. Tremendous amount. America supposedly has gold out at Fort Knox. Anybody ever been out there and seen it? No. We're not sure. There's a lot of talk about it's not even there. That it's all faked up now. It could be. I don't know. But I remember as a kid here, and I wouldn't do that for all the gold in Fort Knox. Anybody ever hear stuff like that? We didn't have no idea what we talked about. But anyway, Solomon here, in show-off fashion, in the temple on the big wall, he had made 500 targets and shields of pure gold. You can read it here in the story. Don't have time to show it to you. 500. And they were all like pictures on the wall, all around the wall. And when the king went into the temple, he could look up and he could see the power and the wealth of his kingdom on the big walls of the temple. But when Shishak, the king of Egypt, come in, he took all that. Took it all. In fact, he just took all from the whole land. He took all the things that were precious. He just raided the countryside and took all the wealth. And now God said, because they repented, I'm not going to let him kill you, but I'm going to make you his servant. So basically, Rehoboam pretty much came like it was a governor of Egypt over the province of what had been his kingdom. Now his kingdom has lost all of its wealth, and Shishak, the king of Egypt, is in control. And he goes in, and he took, in verse 9, all, he carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Now what's the next word? Instead, verse 10. Instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass. Traded gold for brass. See, that's all he had left. He didn't have anything of very much value. And so he made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them, the shields, and brought them again into the guard chamber. Now I say, why did he do that? Because you see, brass tarnishes. So they'd take them out when the king was not in, and they'd polish them and they'd shine them. And if you shine brass enough, it'll almost look like gold. Have you seen that? We just took our trip up to West Virginia and driving on the interstate there and going very close into Charleston, the capital. And there's the Capitol building. In fact, I've been using it as a landmark so I know where to turn. It's a big Capitol building with a great big golden dome. And they've been working on it now for 2 years trying to clean it. When I was in Moscow, Brother Lee, you remember we'd go down to Moscow and see the big gold domes of the government buildings. And I remember asking the question, could that really be gold? They said in Russia it was. I don't know. I don't know if it is in Charleston, South Carolina, and a lot of other places. It may be just exactly what we're reading here in the Bible. It may be polished brass. I don't know. But here we find the king wanted to go in and still see them, even though they were not the real thing. He wanted to pretend they were. And so the guards would bring them back in after they'd polished them up and they'd rehang them on the walls. So when the king come in, he could delude himself. He could deceive himself. He could look there and say, this is still a great kingdom, but it was a pretense. It was not true any longer. The character, the wealth, the depth of it was gone. Those shields were no longer gold, even if they looked kind of goldish to somebody, because they were shined up. So the guard would bring them back in. Verse 12, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, and he would not destroy him altogether. Took the wealth of the kingdom now, didn't destroy him altogether, let him hold his seat. Now watch the next statement. And also in Judah, things went well. Now here he is over the kingdom of Judah, and he's deceiving himself. Maybe he's deceiving the people. Maybe it's an empty Fort Knox. I don't know. But the walls are brass. They're not gold any longer. And he's deceiving himself, maybe first, because he's traded gold for brass. But then notice that statement. And also in Judah, things went well. The pretense was working. Things were running fairly smooth. And the deception, whether it was known by all the people or not, I don't know. But the king said, well, we're getting along. We're getting along. The status quo, you know, we're getting along. Now, I want to say this. After he repented, he was still robbed. He lost the golden shields. He substituted brass. And I want to consider some applications for us today. This old king's own self-delusion. I look around today and I see that in so many ways our nation has traded gold for brass. I mean, the gold standard. You hear folks talking about that? Well, the truth is, we went off the gold standard a long, long time ago. You know, originally, I guess it was the gold in Fort Knox or wherever was supposed to be. If you wanted to trade your paper in for gold, you could, but I wouldn't try it now. You know, sooner or later, the pretense is going to jump up and bite us that it's just paper and there's no gold and there's no silver. Remember when there was a silver certificate on a $1 bill? You could read. I used to drive race cars 100 years ago. The tires were still round back then. And I remember when they opened a new racetrack, and I happened to be winning at that time, and it was called the Silver Dollar Racetrack. And I remember I went in there and won two or three races, and it took me and all the mechanics to take a big croaker bag, a burlap bag, I have to teach you science here, burlap bag of silver dollars and put it on our shoulders and walk out. You know how much those silver dollars were worth? $1 a piece. Now what are they worth? How many paper dollars could you get for one silver dollar like that now? I'm saying to you, a pretense is growing bigger and bigger. Every time we have another government handout, we're increasing the pretense. We've traded gold for brass economically in our nation, no doubt about it. I actually, some of you have been noticing recently, you can't hardly get coins, get change. Have you noticed they got a sign back there, we don't give you change? Now, there's something crooked about that. One of the deacons in my son's church was telling us, he said, I went in and I bought an item for $5.32. And I gave them $6. And I stood there and they said, what are you waiting on? He said, my change. They pointed the sign and said, no change. He said, you ought to put that on the sign because you just stole some money from me. I mean, that's going on, folks. You ever notice they want to round it off in their favor, not yours? And I don't have time to tell you all these stories. But on the way back in West Virginia, one of my tires needed air. You know, it flips on the modern car gauge, your tire's low. And I pulled in to a place, had a big air machine. But guess what? They wanted quarters. And I only had one. They wanted about five for a little air. So I ran into big station, big truck stop type place, big place. Several folks around the counter, and I went in to get some $1 bills changed into quarters. You'd have thought I went in there to hold them up. Made a big issue out of it. We can't give you change. I said, you want that car to sit out there all night in your driveway? I argued with them. We'll have to call the supervisor. I said, well, call him. It wasn't him. It was her. And she showed up and opened the bottom drawer of the cash register and pulled out a brand new roll, paper roll of quarters, and changed my money where I could air up my tire. Obviously, it worked. I'm here. Truth of the matter is, something funny is going on. So what's behind it? I'll tell you what's behind it. What the Bible describes as a cashless society is moving fast, part of the Antichrist kingdom, no doubt about it. Some fellow said and this was on the news, said he went to the bank, got all his money out to take it home, all his paper money, but he said, I had to have it washed before I took it home. That's a different kind of washing of money, I think. Crazy. But you know what we're doing? We're doing like they did here in Judah. We're pretending everything's all right. Everything is going well. That's what the statement said. Everything is going well. We're pretending, folks. Listen, stuff happened fast with this virus business, and it's happening fast with the mobs burning down our cities. But isn't it amazing how the pretense says it's not happening? We want to say, well, that's protest. No, that's Marxists trying to overthrow America and trying to burn America down, but we want to pretend. See, we don't want to see the brass. We can't admit the gold's gone. We can't admit that there's a different picture going on here, but that's what's going on, and it's happening fast. I mean, that same mob tearing down monuments? Listen to me. It's not about race. It's about tearing down America. I got a lot of folks that are black, friends, church members, and I don't know any of them that's for that. I don't know any of them wanting to defund the police. I don't know. I don't believe that for a minute. What you got is a bunch of Marxists and a bunch of useful idiots out there being used by them. Is what you've got. Setting the place on fire. If you go back there to Brother Larson's table there, I put up a thing this morning by Thomas Sowell. Sowell, he is a columnist. He's a black man. He's a very smart man. I've been reading his column for years in various papers, but now they're kicking him out of papers because he's telling the truth. And you know what he says over there? He says it's the ultimate absurdity where some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they're doing now. Boy, that's a powerful statement. That's true. That's so true. Our nation has turned into gold for brass in so many areas. And it's happening fast, happening fast. Talking about burning places down, I think about, if you go to the White House, I'm sure you can still find it in there today, there's a great big portrait of George Washington. He's standing up. Big tall one. He's well-dressed, in his best. He's got his left hand, he's got a sword. And his right hand, he's the first president, George Washington. You remember the war in 1776? That was not the last one. There was another one in 1812 when the British came back and sacked Washington and set it on fire. President Madison was president, and his wife's name was Molly. And while they were running for their lives and leaving Washington, Molly would not leave until they cut the picture out of George Washington out of the frame, rolled it up, put it in a wagon, and taken it to a safe place. That's why you can still see it today. It was not burned. But I want to say to you, Washington's burning right now. And if the far-left ultra-liberals get in control, excuse my English, but you ain't seen nothing yet as to what it's going to be. I'm going to tell you something. The overthrow of America is in the balance right now. It's a terrible time. We're trading our gold for brass. I think about that's true in our nation. It's true in our churches. Say, in our churches, oh, yeah, the church has been pretending for a long time. Most churches have lost their power with God a long time ago. Now they're going through a form. The Bible says in the last day be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We look into the Laodicean church period today. Can you imagine what we've traded the gold of our doctrines for? The brass we've got. I mean, there used to be the gold of the doctrine of the virgin birth, of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And next thing you know, well, he was just divine. Everybody can be divine. No, Jesus was God. We don't trade that in. No, he was virgin born. We won't trade that gold in for brass. But you look around today and you see the truths of eternal security, of the return of Christ, of a good separated Christian life after you're saved. That's pure gold in the eyes of God, but we've traded it for brass. We got brass hanging on the walls of our churches today instead of the pure gold of truth. Too bad. Our churches have been pretending too long. We've been accepting substitutes. Do you know what's going on now? You've heard me preach this, and it's obvious. There's been a big attack on churches under this virus excuse. Now think about it with me a minute. The old church would have never been even thought about having the rules put on that they put on churches today. If you pick up the Sword of the Lord back there on top of the counter, there's a stack of them back there. And on the front page, you'll have an article there by the man that I was talking to you a while ago about the vaccine mandate, the lawyer, Matt has got it here. He's the one put this out, Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver. Matt Staver has an article in front of the Sword there. You ought to read it. Not long, you ought to read it. And he asked this question, what nation is this happening in? And then he goes down a list. He said, what nation could you lose your job for attending a certain church? What nation? By the way, he may not be here this morning, but there's a man in our membership that lost his job for attending Landmark. Yeah. Yeah, let's bring it home. He said, what nation is this where only the government can give you authorization to open? What nation? What nation has persecuted and stopped home Bible studies? What nation has preachers been arrested for preaching? What nation can only open if they have a badge, a sign on the outside of the building that they're permitted to? You know what we'd normally say? We'd say Russia, maybe. Some Muslim country, maybe. No, no, we're talking about America. Everything I just said is happening right now in America under the guise of protecting us from the Chinese flu. Amen? What nation would the police block doors of a church building and say if you don't have the badge on, you can't come in? What nation would threaten to bulldoze a church if it had more than 10 in attendance? What nation would ban singing in a church auditorium or even passing the offering plates? Sadly, folks, it's us. And everything I just said is documented in one state or another. Many of them in California, but closer than that. Now, I made a decision at the beginning of this thing. I would obey God rather than man when it come to his house and his calling. And I'm still not at one bit sad about that. I mean, I tell you, the old-fashioned church that had the golden doctrines, had the golden truth, would not trade it for government control and surrender our constitutional rights and our freedom of speech and freedom of religion. We would not do that, even if it did mean dying a little early. That's the difference now. Our golden shields have been pulled down. We're pretending. We're pretending they're still up. They're not up. They're brass. They've been cheapened. Cheapened to pieces. And it's happening even in our churches. Our First Amendment rights, that was gold. That is gold, pure gold. What? Why are we letting it be so violated? It says Congress shall make no law governing the establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof. Our forefathers fought for that. And we just sell it out so cheap. Replace it with the brass. Pull down the gold. And sit there and look at it and pretend it's the real thing when it isn't. When it isn't. First Amendment, freedom of speech, all under attack. We're accepting the brass. I fear we're accepting the brass. What's at stake if we do? The old truths, if we sacrifice the old golden truths, what's at stake? Let me tell you, in the early days when I got saved, it was nothing. It was routine to see one person come to church and get saved and go back and get the family. And the next thing you know, the whole family's saved. And the kids are saved. Mom and dad is saved. I want to tell you what built America, that very truth right there. That family getting saved, knowing how to live the right life, they made them a better citizen and made them productive, built America. We've lost that gold and we've traded it for brass. In too many churches, the gospel is just brass. Oh, yes, it's a social thing. They've lost the power thereof. Too bad. What's at stake? The old truths are being sacrificed. Well, but like Judah here, we can pretend it's going well. Yeah, going well. I read one time under the Holocaust in Germany, when Hitler was burning the Jews and others, that in some cases, they would let the captive population, mainly Jews, what I was reading about, would have a little, almost a little village of their own. They'd live in a little cabin-like place, and they'd all pretend we're not captives. They'd all pretend we're not going to the gas chamber. And all the time, deep in their heart and soul, they were just waiting on their turn to also be burned. That, you ought to look at some of that stuff up. I wonder on what scale we are pretending today that none of these things are happening. I wonder on what scale are we looking at the walls and looking at brass instead of gold? We've sold the heritage of our kids out, their future. Sad, but too much of that. If you look around and see it today, sold out the old truths. Traded in our gold for brass, pretending all is well, but we've sold out the fact our kids need to be born again. Our kids need to learn how to live a Christian life after they get saved. We sold those truths out. Used to be front row truths, golden truths. No longer. The Christian lifestyle now, most folks wouldn't recognize it if it slapped them in the face. Just join the church. Just maybe get baptized. Just get in the social clique. We'll trade in our golden truths of God for the brass of a good college education or the social acceptance in the neighborhood. Mom and Dad, do you care whether that boy or girl goes to heaven or hell? You sell out enough truth and you're not going to see them in heaven. You can pretend they're going there all you want to. But they need to be saved just like you got saved. Selling out those truths before you know it. We're seeing that happen everywhere we look. Christian lifestyle anymore, they say, what is that? Average Christian lives just as worldly as the lost man does. Goes to the same places, speaks the same way, drinks the same stuff, dresses the same way. And to really be separated unto God would be a shocking thing in too many churches today, even. They've traded in the gold for the brass. Traded it in. The worldly lifestyle. You know, I was reading the ledger this week. Some of you surely read this. Terrible things in there. Kids being killed. One kid riding his bicycle across another man's lawn. The man went out and put a pistol to his head and shot him. Killed him. You see in the ledger, we're right here in our area. This fella living with his grandparents. Now let's get the picture. His grandparents feeding him, sleeping him, taking care of him. Think about that. Taking care of him. And yet, he's on dope. He's in his 40s. He has a dope dealer come to the house. And his grandma fusses about that. So he picks up a heavy object and he beats her to death with it. And the grandpa comes out to intervene and he beats him to death. Now listen, that's different than shooting somebody. That's not hitting them one time. That's beating them to death. You say, who could do that? Could a grandson do that to grandpa and grandma? Yes. Probably doped out of his head. Maybe so. But a long time ago, somebody traded in gold for brass. Long time ago, something was missed. Long time ago, the Christian truths were lost. And we're raising some monsters. We're raising some bad stuff in America right now. And what you're seeing in the streets is reaping for it. Reaping for it. Reaping for it. Oh, I want to say to you, we better get back to the gold standard. We better get back to the Word of God is from God. And he didn't hint at what he meant. He said what he meant. And here we find this old King Rehoboam. He got in trouble. God reached over and got a king out of Egypt to come in and punish him. Why? Because he transgressed. The scripture said he transgressed God. God's word. God's rules. I said to you the other day, the proverb says, the curse causeless shall not come. It comes because of reason. And when God withdraws his mercy and his grace, bad things happen. A man preached a good message Wednesday night about that. About that. Truth is today, let's check up on ourselves. Have we traded the gold we have in the Lord? Have we traded it in for brass? Think on it. Did you used to say, kids, this is the word of God. We're going to church. We're going to do this. Nowadays, you excuse everything in the world. You're trading in gold for brass. Folks, we better wake up in our nation. We better wake up in our churches, or the reaping's not going to be pretty. It is not going to be pretty. I challenge you this morning, say, Lord, I'm not going to compromise in those areas. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to be like the old king sitting there looking at the wall and saying, well, not much difference. It still shines, but it's fake. And he was deceiving himself. So we have to be so careful. I ask you today, the gospel is the pure gold of God. You hear us sing about it and preach it around here. How much brass has taken its place? I want to say to you, if you're listening on the radio or if you're here in this room this morning, the pure gold of the gospel is that Jesus loved you, died for you, shed his blood for your sins, and there is no brass that can take its place. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only one that paid the price, and you're not going to heaven on your works, on your church membership, on who you know, but do you know Jesus as your Savior? That is the gold standard of God, his Son. I ask you this morning, have you trusted him? Or are you pretending that you are okay? Like Judah, things going pretty well. It's okay. Don't deceive yourself. Don't pretend. If you're not saved this morning, come and receive Christ in his house where his word's been preached. You can come and receive him and be saved and one day have the golden streets of heaven as your home. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you in prayer. We commit the invitation to you. Lord, we live in a world today of so much fakery. So many substitutes have been brought in for the real thing, Father. We know that. Help us not to be of the party that will pretend, but Lord, that'll stick by what your golden truth is. I pray you speak to hearts today in Radio Land, online, here in the building, that they'd take a real look to see, have I sold out? Am I pretending? Am I kidding myself? I pray you'd bless here in our midst that be any without Christ that walk this aisle this morning, gladly coming to receive him as Savior, the only way to heaven. I pray out there, Father, over the air, that if there's one that would just bow their head and say, Lord, I have been leaning on substitutes. I've been pretending. And right now, Lord, I'm going to get real with you. I pray that you'd speak to every heart, that your spirit would draw in, that not one would leave this building or turn off the radio or line this morning without receiving Christ as Savior. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. On the authority of God's word, we invite you to leave that seat, come down the aisle, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Will you do it? Don't pretend. Have the real thing. Don't trust the brass. The gold is there for you. Will you come? I pray you will in Jesus' name.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
How about you this morning? How about you?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Admit
to thee whose blood
what you have is gold or brass. Do you know when you made the trade? You can fix it. You can fix it. Kids, you're not going to heaven on mama's faith or daddy's faith. Is it real? No substitute for having your own faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about it? that old king ever sat there and looked and said, well, I know it's fate, but there's nothing I can do about it. Well, he'd gone maybe too far, but you haven't. You haven't. You'd have the real thing, the genuine, the pure goal of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for you and paid off debt you couldn't pay, that you could have forgiveness and the blessings of heaven. Let's bow our heads just a moment. While heads are bowed, are you satisfied with what you have? Is it pure gold, or is the substitute brass that the devil slipped in on you? Is it genuine? Is it real? Time to take an inventory. See what we really have. I don't know much about some of this stuff, but I've read stuff about fake diamonds, and other jewelry, I guess, plastic. I remember one time when a thief broke in our house and he stole my guns. Yeah, any preacher worth his salt's got guns. Stole my guns. Stole my wife's jewelry. I had the deputy out there, and we were doing an inventory on my guns, and I said, honey, what'd you lose? She laughed a little bit and said, nothing. I said, didn't they get your jewelry? She said, it was just plastic. What you got, the real thing, or is it plastic? They say a real diamond you can cut glass with. Ladies, I'm not encouraging you to try that, because you might not like the results. It may cut your diamond instead of it cutting the glass. All right, I'm meddling now. I better stop. All right, we do have some folks that have joined with us. John, you want to stand on up here with us? John Morgan, and do we have a, let me see, let me get this right. Then we have Kelly. Kelly, you may have to help me with your last name on here. You say it before I try it.
Limerick.
I was going to say that. These folks are coming to us, moving membership, and we're glad to have them. Amen. Have a motion to receive them. With a show of hands, as I've stated. God bless you. Come by and shake hands with them and give them the church hand of fellowship. We're so glad to have them. And encourage you to be back tonight. Now, some of you think we're going to preach till breakfast, but we're not. We're going to shorten it up some. Then you can stay for the video or leave. You don't have to watch it, but it's informative. A congressman and a lot of medical doctors thought it was important enough to say something. And so the fact they got censored offline for saying it makes me more curious to what they said, more interested in what they said. Amen. So we'll probably show that tonight. If you're still listening to me out in radio land, I don't know whether you can see it or not. I guess so. I don't know how all that stuff works. But I tell you one way you could know for sure, be here. All right. All right, so let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. And Brother Martin, you want to step up here and dismiss us, please? Then I want you to come by and shake hands with these folks and welcome them into the church.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the message today. And Lord, just help us to cling to that real, true gold. And Lord, help us to be shining, bright shining lights for you this afternoon, and bring us back to safety this evening. We'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.